Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As we move along in the month of January, we are also moving along in our study of the book of Ecclesiastes. We returned to Ecclesiastes last Friday on January 1, after a two-week hiatus into a text dealing with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But now we are back to our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ecclesiastes, but I do know that some of you probably didn't join us on Friday because it was a holiday, so presumably most of you are back on schedule on this Monday, January 4, and are listening to the Beacon broadcast on a regular basis, those of you whose daily schedule, when it's not interrupted, allows you to do exactly that. But I need to tell those who were not with us on Friday that what we have done is moved into a chapter, namely Ecclesiastes chapter 10, that talks about the destruction of folly and how to recognize and avoid folly. It's the opposite of wisdom. Most of what Ecclesiastes has talked about is the virtues of wisdom, how important wisdom is to add real meaning and significance to our lives here upon the earth, in a way that wealth and knowledge and sensual pleasure and achievements of other types cannot achieve, but wisdom does. It can. Wisdom, which is God's truth applied to every area of life. And there are a number of chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes that are devoted to the value of wisdom, but chapter 10 is devoted to the dangers of folly, the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom is a powerful force for good, but folly is a powerful force for destruction. And so in the beginning of the book, or at the beginning of the chapter, I should say, we have a description of folly in verses 1, 2, and 3. Folly, which is what? Failure to apply God's truth to daily life. And we will take it up where we left off on Friday and continue on this Monday, January 4. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us so that we can teach God's Word on this station. Verse 1 tells us of folly's potential, and I quickly review it. It says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. And that's simply to say that you can destroy an awful lot of good that has been achieved by the exercise of wisdom. You can destroy an awful lot of that in one act of folly, one act of sinful indiscretion, one act of failing to apply God's truth to your daily life. It's amazing how destructive folly can be. Wisdom is a powerful force for good, but usually wisdom has to be applied consistently over a long period of time to achieve significant results. But folly can be exercised in a moment and destroy everything that wisdom has achieved over a long period of time. I have observed that in the lives of many people. I'm sure you have too. And some of you have experienced it in your own life. And if you haven't, you've certainly observed it in the lives of others. And if you have not experienced it in your own life, you can thank God for protecting you from such folly. And if you have experienced it in your own life, you know what I'm talking about, and you can say a rueful amen, and you are telling me to please warn others, don't do what I did. Don't allow a moment of folly to ruin many months and years of wisdom. Don't do that. But it happens a lot. Many, many, many years ago, and I'm talking about like 40 years ago, so this is a long time, and I am willing to give this real-life illustration because I think so many years have passed that the people who are involved are probably no longer living, though I don't have contact with either of the people that I'm going to talk about. But 40 years ago or so, a man came to our church, and he had come back to the area because he wanted to reclaim his wife that he had who had left him because of his abominable temper. And he wanted to prove to her that he had conquered it, that he was no longer the same man, that he was now a godly man, a reliable man, a kind man, and he wanted to prove that to her, and he appealed to me to help him do that, and he started out doing all the right things. He got involved in our church, and he got involved in very active in ministry in our church. He had an amazing amount of energy, and he got involved in a certain area of ministry, and he gave himself to it in a wonderful way. He was exercising an awful lot of wisdom. What is wisdom? God's truth applied to every area of life, and he was demonstrating that. And he tried to reach out to his wife, and the reason he'd come to this area is because his wife had come back home to live with her parents in this area. And he tried to reach out to her, and she didn't want anything to do with him, and so he just kept being faithful for many months in our church until he finally got to the place where he felt like he had proved himself to me sufficiently that he could enlist my help, and he did, and I endeavored to help him. I reached out to his wife on his behalf, but she was willing to talk to me, and she told me why she'd left him and why she didn't trust him and so forth, and I won't go through the whole long story. It is a rather long story, and it took a long time, but finally the day came when she was willing to meet with him and to go out and have dinner with him and to talk about to just kind of reconnect and see if there was any possibility for the future, and he was so excited. And he actually came to my house and was all ready for this occasion, and then off he went and had this time with his wife, and after 2 or 3 hours, I got a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and there he was, and his head was all hung in shame, and long story short, she'd said something that triggered him, and he exploded in anger, and he blew the whole opportunity out of the water, and no matter how hard he tried, he never was given another opportunity. He'd already added the straw that broke the camel's back months and years before, but he assured her that he had changed, but one moment of anger that probably only lasted 10 seconds or less destroyed what he had been working on for months and really even for years before he came here. Exactly what this verse is saying. That's what happens. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. All it took was one explosion of that old anger, and he ruined everything that he had worked so hard for months and months and even for years. That's the way it works. Folly has potential to destroy an awful lot of good. And as flies ruin good ointment, so a little folly, flies are a little thing, but you drop them in a little bottle of perfume and let them decay there, and they'll ruin the perfume. And a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A foolish indiscretion can ruin years of wise behavior. Yes, folly has enormous potential for destruction. Folly's potential is described for us in verse 1. Well, where does this folly come from? Because verse 2 tells us folly's source. Where does it come from? Verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Another proverb. These are proverbs in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 by Solomon, the man who wrote the book of Proverbs. And these are proverbs, and what is this telling us? Well, it's telling us that the source of folly is the human heart. It uses right and left. Right would represent what is right and true and righteous, and left represented what is wrong and sinful in the ancient world. We have to be careful about that today, because if we're not careful, we may be politically incorrect and insult a left-handed person or something like that. But that's what this says. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, right representing what is good, what is righteous, what is true, but a fool's heart is at his left. The heart chooses what it desires, is what it's telling us, and these choices reveal the condition of the heart. And God alone is the one who can change the heart. But we're asking about where does folly come from? We see this tremendously destructive potential of folly, and we wonder, why does anyone struggle with this? Why does anyone exercise folly? Where does it come from? It comes from the human heart, because the heart chooses what it desires. And when someone chooses, then they're revealing the condition of the heart. That's a profound truth. I hope I can say that descriptively enough and effectively enough so that you'll understand what I'm saying, and you'll understand this important truth in Scripture, namely, that when we sin, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about folly, failing to apply God's truth to daily life, in other words, failing to pursue right and righteousness, but pursuing the opposite, which is what is wrong and sinful. And when we choose sin, why do we do that? It's because our heart desired it. It's as simple as that. If it didn't, we wouldn't. Why do we make bad choices? Because we want to. Now, and it comes from our heart. Out of the heart, says the Bible, are the issues of life. Sometimes people act like they made a bad choice and it was completely foreign to themselves. They did something bad and they insist, and we hear this all the time, but that isn't really me. You know, I did that one time. I said that one time, but that's not who I am. That's not really me. That doesn't describe me, that doesn't characterize me, that doesn't reveal who I am. Yes, it does. Your heart chooses what it desires, and what it chooses reveals the condition of your heart. Because if your heart's condition is such that it chooses what is right, then it reveals. See, nobody can see your heart but God. But when your choices are continually made in the direction of truth and righteousness, and that reveals a heart that has been renewed by the Spirit of God. But when your heart is making sinful choices, what does that do? It reveals a sinful heart that needs to be changed by the grace of God. These choices reveal the condition of your heart. And so a wise man's heart is in his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Where is the source of folly? It is in the human heart. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.